My lesson this morning is simply entitled, What is the Gospel? I'm sure you know. Somebody asked me yesterday, what are you going to talk about tomorrow? And I told him, I said, I'm going to talk about the Gospel. He said, oh yeah, that's a good topic. I said, yeah. I said, I think it's sort of like driving. For those of you who drive, you know how to drive. You've been driving for years. You know everything it is to know about driving. But if someone was to come up to you and all of a sudden say, I want you to take this driver's test. And you take the test, and after you get the grade back, and you look at it and say, I got that. It's like you knew it, but, you know, some things on there you was a little rusty on, or you knew it, but you knew it not quite the way that you thought you knew it. And there's nothing wrong with refreshing your memory. God tells us more than once certain things in the Bible because he wants us to be able to know what he's saying and be able to speak on it. So I thought this was a good topic to talk about. Plus the fact I try to pick stuff that's going to relate to me. If I feel like it relates to me, then I don't feel like I'm talking about nobody particularly in here. So you won't have to say to me later, the next time you want to talk about me, just tell me. So I'm not talking about you, but I am talking to you. But I'm talking about me. What is the gospel? The gospel literally means good news. Some people might say, oh, well, I know that, but the good news, or good news of Jesus Christ, or is it a difference between the gospel and the good news? The gospel means the good news. Broadly speaking, the whole scripture, which means your Bible, my Bible, every Bible, is the gospel, because it's the scripture. But when you narrow it down, it's the good news concerning Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. It's coming to provide forgiveness for our sins for all who believe. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So that means that because of Christ's blood, we have forgiveness. And because of Christ's blood, it cleanses us of our sins. And as we all know, the wages of sin is death. So we don't have to worry about paying that debt, which we couldn't never pay anyway, because Christ has paid it for us. Now, the key to understanding the gospel is to know why it's good news. To do that, we must start with the bad news. The Old Testament law was given to Israel during the times of Moses. That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, which I just said. Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn in them and be careful to observe them. And we had a discussion this morning in Sunday school about who could be perfect, who could be blameless. This law that was given to help the Israelites live the way God wanted them to live so that they could have an eternal home in heaven. But the law can be thought of as a measuring stick, and sin is anything that falls short of perfect. According to that standard, The righteous requirement of the law is so strict and precise that no human being could possibly follow it perfectly to the letter or in spirit. Despite our goodness or badness relative to each other, we are all in the same spiritual boat, which means all of us are not perfect. We have sinned, and the punishment of sin is death. In other words, separation from God. That's death. Because if you don't be with God, then you're dead. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. We live in a sinful world. We were born in a sinful world. So we're going to sin. And the Lord knows that, and he made a way for us. We're going to see that in just a few minutes. In order for us to go to heaven, God's dwelling place, because that's where life is, and that's where eternal life that we will have after this life. A dwelling place in the realm of life and light. Sin must somehow be removed or paid for. The law established the fact that cleansing from sin can only happen through the blood sacrifice of an innocent life. Hebrews 9, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And we talked about that in our Wednesday night Bible study classes, about how in biblical times they had what they called a Day of Atonement, where they would come every year and bring animals to be sacrificed, and it would take away their sin. But that was what they thought, it would take it away. As we know now, it didn't really take it away, because as we're going to see, that blood was not good enough. Now, it was rolled forward to the next year. And they had to do that continuously. But to them, it was like, this all I got to do is just bring an animal and that will take away all my sins. I'm clean from that day on until the next year. The gospel involves Jesus' death on the cross. So the sin offered to fulfill the law's righteousness requirements. I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. The gospel involves Jesus' death on the cross as the sin offering to fulfill the law's righteous requirement. So Jesus' death on the cross is what would take away the sin, not roll it forward. It would get rid of it, because he would be that atonement once and for all. If we look at Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, we see, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did it by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as I just said, they gave the sacrifice every year to roll it forward to the next year. That was a sin being carried over. They made a blood sacrifice because you needed blood to pay for that sin. But they couldn't take away sin. Now Jesus did it one time because he was innocent. He was blameless. He was perfect. He was the only one that could take away sin once and for all. And he did that. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if Jesus took this sin away once and for all, and he did so in the flesh, and that means if we believe and trust in him, we no longer walk by sight, but by faith, which we are not walking in the flesh anymore. We're walking in the Spirit. So we no longer have this sin, because he paid for that once and for all. Under the law, animal sacrifices were offered year after year as a reminder of sin and a symbol of the coming sacrifice of Christ. And they didn't know about that once and for all sacrifice with the coming of Christ. But they thought that once they did that, then they were covered. Sin was taken away. It was taken away for that year, but it was still there. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. In order for that to happen, it had to be innocent blood. Even when they made their sacrifices at that time, it had to have been an animal that didn't have a spot, a blemish, a crooked leg, one eye gone. It had to be what they considered a perfect animal. So that was as close as they could come. But Jesus was perfect. Perfect in spirit, perfect in being, perfect in body, perfect all the way around. No problem. His blood was the innocent blood that atoned for all of our sins. When Christ offered himself at Calvary, that symbol became a reality for all who would believe. That is an important part. You have to believe. But believing don't mean just saying, I believe. It involves some work, as we know, about the steps of salvation. Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 18. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. For no one offering be as perfect. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being set apart. We are those that are being set apart. But the Holy Spirit, who witnessed to us, for after he has said before, and this is God that is saying this, this is the covenant that I will make with him. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will make them. He will put his laws in our hearts and in our minds so that we will live by them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So that is why it is the work of atonement is finished now, and this is good news. As I have said before, in one of the studies that we've had, and may have been during Sunday school or Wednesday night, I for one am very glad, and it's good news that we don't have to make those sacrifices anymore. Can you imagine? First of all, you got to have some animals. You got to keep animals. If you don't keep them, you got to go, like we go to the store and buy our food, we got to go somewhere and buy some animals to go somewhere to make a sacrifice. So you got to take the animals there. Somebody got to make the sacrifice for you because we're not able to make it for ourselves. And all that blood, which after a period of time, it's going to be smelling, you know. And not only that, just to have the animals, it's going to be smelly. Even if you just get an animal from the marketplace or wherever you buy them, and then you take them to to wherever the sacrifice is going to be made, it's going to be a task. I'm so glad that we don't have to do that anymore. That is definitely good news. Now, where there is forgiveness of these, there no longer is an offering for sin. The gospel also involves Jesus' surrender. On the third day, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We look at Romans 4, verse 25. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. This is why Jesus came for us. Because we couldn't have made that sacrifice for ourselves. The law was that we used animals. We no longer have to use animals, and we still don't have to make that sacrifice for ourselves. Isn't that good news? The fact that Jesus conquered sin and death, which is sin's penalty, that's good news indeed. He took out two things at once. He took away the sin and the death, what we would have to pay. The fact that he offered to share the victory with us is the greatest news of all. The victory of what he took away. Not only did he just take it away, but he gave us a place to go after this life. John chapter 14, verse 19. He told them, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, and you will live also. That sounds like a promise to me. Now, an interesting thing to see here is the elements of the gospel. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose, and the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, speaking at that time, but some had died. And some of your scriptures, it may say, he appeared to Cephas, which is another name for Peter. But notice first that Paul received the gospel and then he passed it on. This is a divine message, not a man-made invention. This is what he got. Second, the gospel is of most importance. Everywhere the apostles went, they preached the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. So what they got from Christ, and after his death and they scattered, it just didn't go somewhere and said, well, Christ is gone. I'm going to start a new life over here. Nobody knows me, so I don't have to be worried about being crucified myself. I'm just keep a low profile, stay on the down low, and everything will be all right. I have a good and happy life. They felt like they needed to go and still preach the gospel. Even though Jesus was gone, he had been crucified, they still felt brave enough to go out and deliver that message. And third, the message of the gospel is accompanied by proofs. Jesus died for our sins, proved by his death, by his burial. Well, everybody knows he died because they was there to see it. Those that wasn't there, I'm sure they heard about it, but there had to been a big thing because this man that had been walking around healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, That in itself was news that spread it. And then they were going to kill him. Everybody was following to see that. And where they killed him at? What they called the hill of Golgotha, I believe, or Calvary. So it was up high where everybody could see it, and the crowd gathered around. Oh, they knew he was dead. So they saw that. And then he was buried. So, well, they couldn't have buried him unless he was dead. So they knew that. And then he rose again the third day. Well, he said he was going to rise. That's what he told them. Destroy this temple. Destroy this body. Which they didn't realize that his body was the temple. But they thought he meant he destroyed this building. I'm going to rebuild it. But they knew that he was going to come back. And that's why they put that seal on the tomb to make sure. We're going to make sure he don't get up. But it was proven by eyewitnesses that they saw him. First by Peter, and then by 500. And fourth, all this was done according to the scriptures. The theme of the whole Bible is the salvation of mankind through Christ. That's why this book, on a whole, is the gospel. Now, in Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 16, it reads, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. The Jews were the first ones that had the message. Everybody else after the Jews is the Gentiles. That's us that's living today. Those that was living at that time that wasn't Jews. And anybody else that's born, as long as this world keeps turning, is still a Gentile. Because if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. The gospel is a bold message, and we are not ashamed of proclaiming it. It is a powerful message, because it is God's good news. It is a saving message, the only thing that can truly reform the human heart. It is a universal message for Jews and Gentiles both. As I said, if you was not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. And the gospel is received by faith. Salvation is the gift of God. We can see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now that's an important note right there, because you know we do a lot. You know, we go to church every Sunday, we put our money in the plate, we pray to God, we help out in any type of event, I'm a good person, I give to the poor, I visit the sick. I spread the word of God, and so much more. I mean, God just got to bless me. He just got to do stuff, because I did everything that he told me to do. That's why salvation is a gift, because I don't care how much work you do. Not saying you don't have to do no work, because oh yes you do, but you can't win it, earn it, or any other way. You can't work for it by that work of just doing something and, you know, get paid. I know some people that go to work every day and they're there on time and they punch their clock. And that's about all they do. You know, they go over here and they talk with somebody about the fight last night, or They go to the bathroom. They go in the break room to get them a soda or a snack. And then they come back to their workspace, and then they got to go somewhere else and do something else. You know, and they just pill-pall around. But they're there on time to punch in. And when time comes to punch out, they're going to punch out. And they're looking for a full paycheck. But when really the rubber meets the road, did you really work? When the work gets hard, you say, oh, I got to take a break now. That's why we can't earn it. It's a gift. The gospel is the good news that God loves the world enough to give his only son to die for our sins. We all know that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. We know that one. The gospel is good news because our salvation and eternal life and home in heaven are guaranteed through Christ. John 14:1-4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. That's telling us, which we always hear that when we go to a funeral, but it tells us, it reassures us, that because God loved us so much, and he gave his son to die for us, that what his son going to do? Going to take away our sins. He's going to go and prepare a place for us. And when we leave this earth, we got somewhere that we're going. Everything going to be taken care of. Is that good news? Oh, that's some good news. Imagine someone telling you today, you want to go on this trip? Whether it be a train or a boat or in a bus or whatever, you ain't got to take care of nothing. Everything covered. Your food, your lodging, the transportation. All you got to do is show up. Yeah, when we leave, be glad to go. And tell you, we can go at your earliest convenience. You pick the time that you want to go. Well, I'm going to wait till it's summertime because it's nice. Oh, I want to go when it's winter because I don't want to be here when it's cold. We'll make our own plans of when we're going. But that place will be so nice. All we think about, I can't wait till the date comes when I'm taking this trip. But in all trips, you have to do what? You got to come back. Not from this one. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So we got a place to go, and we got something waiting for us when we get there. That's got to be some good news. You ever seen this commercial they have on television about the places that you go to a hotel, maybe spend your vacation or whatever, and you think you're going to get there, and the place, your reservation is there, but all this stuff is going on. Could be a whole lot of loud noise. It could be overrun with another convention that's there. The swimming pool that you want to get into is all full of kids, and you know, it's a little bit of small little room. You know, you can't stretch out. I mean, your reservation is still there, but it's not comfortable. You want to be at a place where you expecting to get everything that you were looking for to get. I one time went with my wife to a convention that they had and got to the hotel, and they couldn't find her reservation. Man, and I was like, what are we going to do? But they made provisions afterward. But that shocker, your name is what? I don't see it. What are you going to do? Nothing you can do. Don't have to worry about that with this reservation, because it's going to have your name and your name on it. Everything you're supposed to get is going to be there. It's going to be better than being in a hotel or on a cruise or anything else. Believe me, it's going to be out of this world. The gospel is good news when we understand that we do not and cannot earn our salvation. The work of redemption and justification is complete, having been finished on the cross. John chapter 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus is the propitiation of our sins, for our sins. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation, and some Bibles may have atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now that word atoning, that brings back memories. We were talking about that this past Wednesday, atonement, what it means. You need to attend the Wednesday night class. I'm not going to go into that. The gospel is good news that we, who were once enemies of God, have been reconciled by the blood of Christ and adopted into the family of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That word adopted, that's another one of those words we talk about on Wednesday night. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, children of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the whole world, the world does not know us because it did not know him. And the world doesn't know Christ. And the world don't know us. When you live like Christ wants you to live, people look at you like, what's wrong with you? I wouldn't have did that. Or you wouldn't talk to me that way. Oh man, why you do that? Anybody ever ask you that question? Keep on living like Christ, they will. Oh, Lord, here comes that goody-goody two-shoes. Here comes that person that's always talking about the Bible. And I know they said it. You know why? Because I used to say it. Really? I did. I may have told some of you, but it's the truth, you know, and I'm not bragging, it's just a fact. My brother-in-law was a preacher. And every time he used to come by my house, he would always end with, "Hope to see you Sunday." I mean, we would have conversations. It was fine. You know, he was a good brother-in-law. I loved him. But it was just, I knew he was going to ask me to come to church. And, I don't want to hear that. So when I see him coming, I would make myself comfortable and sit down in a chair and give me a nice cold beer. You know, sipping on my beer. I know he ain't going to come and sit under me today because I'm drinking his beer. And if to help add to it, I light me a cigarette.
You know, smoke me a cigarette, drink a beer. He ain't coming this way. And he still come, hey, man, how you doing? All right, how you doing? You know, we sitting talking. We talk about different stuff. Before he leave, hope to see you Sunday. Didn't work. So I know. And if you don't hear it, you'll see it. People start shying. They start getting away from you. Because they don't want you to say nothing to them about God. Don't want to hear nothing about coming to church. But you keep doing it anyway. And you have conversations about the weather, the sports, about this, the cars, everything. And you can, any conversation you start or get into, you can always bring it to God. Well, how can you do that? Because God made everything. That's one door you open right there. Is it good weather? Yeah, God made it happen. Is it bad weather? Yeah, God made it happen because we needed it. Man, that's a nice car you got. Yeah, the Lord blessed me with it. I like what you were wearing today. Yeah, I was blessed. Anything and everything is because of God. The gospel is good news that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8. Verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I didn't say that man is not going to shy away from you, because if you want to look at it as condemnation from man, you can look at it that way. Criticism, ridicule, putting down. Just about anything you can think of. Not only from man, from your family members, from your close friends, from anybody that, you know, get away from you because you live in a godly life. If you look at that as condemnation, then I ask you to consider this. I just finished telling you about that trip, that reward, where you going to be and where they going to be. If you think you're getting condemned because you're a follower of Christ, when you leave here, you know, you should know where you're going. Where are they going? And I guarantee you they won't be condemning you then, because 9 times out of 10, they won't be in the place where you are. To reject the gospel is to embrace the bad news. As in our scripture, John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's only Son. God has given a doomed world good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is the good news? What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of knowing. If you don't know nothing else to say, or what to tell anybody else, and they ask you, well, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of knowing where you're going. And it may sound like a rhyme, but it's a whole lot of weight in there. Knowing where you are going. You ask them, where are you going? When you close your eyes for the last time on this earth, what happened? Can they answer that? If they can't, then you need to tell them about the good news. That's my lesson. I hope it's beneficial to you. The Lord has set into being the plan of salvation for us to follow. But you have to hear the gospel. You have to believe what you hear. If you hear and believe it, you should repent, because you know you haven't done the right thing, haven't been living right, and you want to get right. If you believe that and you repent for that kind of lifestyle, then you should confess it publicly. Publicly confessing to me each and every day that you live, you're going to live like Christ. You're going to strive to do your best. No, you're not going to be perfect. No, you are not going to do everything right. No, it is not going to happen overnight. But you're going to work at it from that day forward until the end of your life. And then you'll be baptized into the water grave of salvation, when you will rise up as a new creature in Christ. And from that day forward comes the rubber meeting the road. You're going to do or strive to do what you say you were going to do, to live like Christ, to follow the apostles' teaching, to read the gospel, and to live by it. May God bless you.